Isabel
Haruma is kindly with us for a kōrero today. Now, the Justice Select Committee yesterday heard from submitters on the Gangs Legislation Amendment Bill, which is also going to give police extra powers to stop gang members congregating. Eka is the co-chair of the Criminal Law Reform Committee for Tongaroa Māori, the Māori Law Society. She's kindly with us for a kōrero. Eka, tēnā koe, ko Dale tēnei.
Kia ora, ko Eka, tēnei,
kanoi tēnei hiki a koe, Dale. Tēnā koe, Eka. I love your name too. Your mum and dad must mum and dad must have been pretty cool. How did that come to be? Echo. It's not a very common name.
Not a surprise, and I'm glad you mentioned my middle name because there's actually three Echo Harongas from my taha Māori. So, yeah, it's good. They're not confused about who's on the radio this morning.
Nice to talk with you. Hey, sister. Okay, so firstly, your thoughts about the gang insignia legislation. And also, it mirrors what's happening a little in Australia, too, about congregating. You're not even allowed to mix with people who are supposedly gang affiliates. Have those drafting legislation in Wellington, have they got this nearly right or wrong?
In our position, in our submission, completely wrong. The bill is not evidence-based at all. It ignores their own official advice that's come through from the Ministry of Justice and the Attorney General. It breaches fundamental human rights that are deserved to be enshrined for every person in New Zealand, not just gang members. And we believe it's anti-Māori in its design, and the law enforcement that is inevitably going to follow. This will put the Crown in breach of its obligations under Te Tira Te O Waitangi.
Tēnā koe, are you on a speakerphone, sis? Might I just ask you to pick your phone up so we can hear the richness, the dulcet tones of Echo Haronga. So you mentioned it's anti-Māori. I know this is slightly awkward then. If it's anti-Māori, should it be investigated by the Waitangi Tribunal?
I would welcome an inquiry from the Waitangi Tribunal. Of course, they do have their hands full with a lot of kaupapa at the moment.
How concerned should we be, or are you, about the bill inflaming tensions between gangs and the police?
I think, there is a lot of rhetoric, I guess, around inflamed tensions and gangs and police. I think the key point with this is that society, and that includes the police, cannot arrest and imprison its way out of the gang issue. We have tried that. The social dimension gangs, the ones which offer whānau connection, identity, a place to thrive, albeit in an outlaw sense, they result from that approach, which was used over decades, has been reported on by many, but in particular, most recently, the Royal Commission into Abuse and Care, where it was proved again that mainly Māori were put into care, abused in care, and then prospected into the gangs that now exist. So, concerned about changing tensions, well, tensions will always exist between gangs and police at point of law enforcement. But the difference here, and I think this is really meaningful, is that this bill gives police a discretion to criminalise things like clothing and to prevent association between people in public spaces, whether or not they are gang members, non-gang members.
Eka, the fact that we're talking about it should raise the profile of how gangs came to be. You've touched on it, and sadly I heard Eugene mention that, you know, he was in state care and the very people who were supposed to be caring for these guys were raping them. Which, I mean, and here we are. We shouldn't be surprised that we've got a gang culture. Some former politicians have tried to work with the gangs, and at the moment we have politicians who are denigrating them and would rather they were collectively kicked for touch. Echo, is there something the gangs could do to assist here, a little more positivity? Because many people are intimidated by them. How might the gang culture or gang leadership react to this situation?
Well, I do know, of course, people like Eugene Ryder are an incredible link between that world and the mainstream space. They can work and sort of walk in both worlds, so to speak. a skill that's not necessarily a surprise to many Māori. But the issue that we have is that this government and the laws that they're producing are populist punitive responses, and we're seeing it across the board. This, we're talking about criminal justice this morning and handing over to the police more broad sweeping powers, which means inevitably police are going to be able to target and arrest mostly Māori for these things that have never been crimes before, such as wearing a t-shirt or maybe breaching a dispersal notice or breaching a non-consorting order. It's going to be really hard for the gangs to get over the fact that this government is leading us in this way, and therefore it's on them to come back into society and somehow present a solution when, you know, the elected democratic leadership of New Zealand is, couldn't be more clear that they don't think of gang members as their associates, their whānau, and people who associate with them in a supporting role, you know, deserve this extra police attention. So, I mean, certainly there could be things that could be done. I would suggest that the Crown, in receiving the advice that they've received so far, Select Committee yesterday and also from the Ministry of Justice, should take notice of the opposition, see the writing on the wall, including from evidence in Australia, pause this bill. That would indicate that there's a space for the gangs to come forward and start to talk about how best to ease these issues that we're seeing blow up in the media.
Tēnā koe. You use the term non-consenting orders, non-consorting orders.
Sorry, non-consorting orders.
Yeah. What's the history here? How often has this been used in our country?
Never before that I'm aware of. They're very, very concerning. So I don't know how much time you have to get into the nitty-gritty, but essentially the police under this order can choose to nominate people as gang members and then file an application with the district court that they're not able to associate with other gang members. And if they breach that order, or if the court issues it and they breach that order by associating with those people, then they're liable for a huge fine or a significant term of imprisonment. And I think, you know, things get missed here. You know, this bill is getting referred in shorthand as a gang patch ban. If this was merely about stopping gang members wearing their patches in public, the law would be very, very different of what's being proposed. What's being proposed is something far more dangerous in terms of legislating away the most basic and fundamental human rights. What we know from Australia is that the errors in police use of these laws tended to impact street kids, homeless people, women, Indigenous Australians, and partly that's because in order to observe people and then to breach them for consorting or for failing to disperse, police have got to see them in public to do that because that's part of the new offence. So I think what's really crucial for New Zealanders to understand is that serious organised crime does not happen on the street corner. Serious organised crime that is run by gangs is already covertly occurring, and this law will not impact that at all. It's only going to impact people who police think are wearing certain kind of clothing, maybe they're driving a certain kind of coloured car, and it occurs to the police that maybe they're up to no good, and therefore they should be criminalised. And that's what Te Hongaroa Māori is mainly concerned about.
Yeah, as we all should be too. Contravening human rights, treaty rights. Look, in a political climate that appears dismissive of many Māori kaupapa, Tongaroa Māori, we see as a vehicle to advocate on behalf of our people. Are they listening, though, when the Māori Law Society put their position on the table?
Well, in terms of the government listening to Tongaroa Māori, well, that remains to be seen. Te Hungaroa Māori is absolutely open to input, and we do see ourselves in our role of privilege as lawyers as very important in terms of the areas where we can submit and advance public advocacy on behalf of all Māori. I guess it's important to note I'm speaking as a criminal defence lawyer. I've previously been a prosecutor, but Te Hungaroa Māori represents all Māori lawyers. So within that, we take input from prosecutors, from victims' advocates and activists, from academics as well.
Tēnā koe. Next time, perhaps we could have a chat about the cultural report writing, which I sort of sense was a very important tool so that those making decisions could understand who is in front of them and why. But the funding for that's been axed also. So some concerning issues in the legal community for Ngāi Māori, and I'm pleased to have people like yourself who are keeping an eye on it on our behalf. Echo, thanks very much for sharing some thoughts about the legislation on the table at the moment.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe.